Morning, everybody. Morning. Please bear with me. I'm struggling with my sinuses. So before we start, let's have a prayer real quick. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for everybody who's been able to make it here. For those who have not, we ask that you give them what they need, Lord. We ask for your blessings upon them. We ask you for the things that we need, but not only what we need, but for the things that you have to give us. And we thank you for everything that you have given us and for the things that you have in store waiting for us. Lord, we ask for you to open us up so that we can receive what you have. Right now, I ask for you to remove me from this position and for you to step in and give the message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Before we start, just real quick. Last weekend, Summer and I went with some friends on a trip to San Diego and Long Beach. And in the process of that, we went to the church in Long Beach. It's always a treat when we can get to go there. And the people that were speaking that Sunday, they talked about going from stress to strength. And they were talking about the fitness, our physical fitness, and how we talk to ourselves, how we treat ourselves, and the things that we do. We've been talking about picking out the word that is going to be our word for this year for us to work on with God. But let me ask you this. How many of us take the time to sit and think about it? How many of us take the time to be quiet? Has anybody been in a severe storm where that there's so much ruckus going around? Or have you been in a car accident or been near a car accident where you hear everything crash in together, but in the middle of all this mess, chaos that's going on, do you ever feel the peace? Do you ever hear the quietness? Absolutely. How many have dealt with a death, whether it's a friend or a family? And in that moment of them losing their physical life and gaining their spiritual life, have you sat there and listened in the quiet and feel the peace that is around? Where does that come from? It comes from God. Now, Pastor had mentioned that when the world was created, everything was good. And then God makes man. The one thing that they talked about last Sunday was that when God made man, and it's been mentioned here many a times before too, when God made man, he made man perfect and in his image. Even though each of us have our own human bodies, do we all look the same? No. Do we all have the same characteristics? No. And at the same time, do we all have the same things that are going wrong for us or the things that are going good for us? No. Why?
Because it's an individual walk with God. God made you an individual.
Now let's turn this around in a different direction. Before God made man, he made plants. He made the waters, he made the heavens, he made the earth, he made the animals. And each one of them that he made, did he say for it to be by itself? So we're going to talk about seeds today. Now, is there only one type of seed for a plant? Because we have many plants, right? It could be anything from a weed to a flower to a vegetable to a fruit to a tree. And each one of them has their own job, right? But they all don't live in the same area, do they? Because there's certain plants that adapt to certain areas, right? Some close by the ocean, some high up on the mountains, some out in the desert. So God gives them what they need. But it's up to the plant as to whether it wants to survive or not. So let's start with our first verse. Now Jesus had went out and he was talking about the parables. In Matthew 13, 1 through 9, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, before we go on to the meaning of what the Bible says about this, let me ask you this. How many of you have either had a flower bed or a garden or even just a little potted plant in your house? So we know it takes dirt, right? It takes water. Certain ones need certain minerals. They need sunshine or just a little bit of sunshine, not too much. Now, Jesus said that when he came into this world, he came in as the light, right? Amen. He's also the water and the life. So let me ask you this. If you take a cactus and you put it in the rainforest, is it going to grow very well?
No.
Why?
Too wet.
Too wet? Not enough sunshine, right? Now, if you take a tree, say like an oak tree or a pine tree or a birch tree, and you put it out in the desert, is it going to grow very well?
No.
Why? Why is it not getting enough water?
It's too hot
and the water's way down below. Trees have roots where they dig down in the dirt searching for the water. And when they find the water, they store it. But if you try to plant a tree on a cliff, you put a handful of dirt there, you put the seed there, is it going to grow very well?
No.
More than likely not. But there's always a rare chance that it might. But it will only get so big because there's only so much room to hold it. And there's only so much dirt to feed it. And eventually it will get heavy and it will fall over. So with that in mind, let's go on to the next part. We're going to go to Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. Now, if any of you have had a garden or worked in a big garden, you have your bag of your seeds and you're putting it in the rows, right? But you always grab a handful. You don't grab one and drop it, do you? Depends, sometimes. But on the average, you can grab a handful. Like if you're planting corn or something, you're just going to kind of drop them down through. So you want a handful, and you're going to drop one at a time every so few inches. But how many of those slip through the backside of your hand? And it falls along the edge there, and you're stepping all over it. Well, after you cover all the dirt up, that one that got stepped on might get turned up a little bit. And who's going to come and eat it? Birds or the animals? How many times does Satan come along and he eats up our good things? Whether it's something that God has given us or something that we've earned?
A lot.
A lot. So going back to this trip that we took last weekend. It was a wonderful trip. I had fun. I got to spend some time with some friends. Got to learn how to live in close living quarters with new friends. And I also had the privilege of my mom calling because she's having health issues and she's been in and out of the hospital and a care center. How do you find joy in that? It's tough, but I learned something. I learned first, if I rely on God first and turn it over to him and let him control it, I don't have to do anything.
Amen.
Do you know how hard it is for me to give up control? Why don't you ask Summer? I told her and our friends, sure, you guys can go ahead and plan it. I'll go along with it. And then I get asked, so you're going to be ready to pick us up at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? What? I was like, wait a minute. I was thinking more like about 9:30. And then I got told, well, you said you'll go along with it. I didn't get told exactly that way. I got told in politer terms. It was more like, do you have a problem with this and why? And then I had to stop and think about it. What was my issue? My issue was the fact that I wasn't trusting. My issue was the fact that I was thinking about myself. I wasn't thinking about others. And my issue was that I wasn't going along lovingly with what I had agreed to. And I had stuck in the back of my mind, I get off work at a certain time. They're wanting to leave at this time in the morning. Oh, God, I'm not going to have enough sleep. We're going to be driving. Me. I'm going to do. That is not easy to give up. Going back to this, as for planting your seeds and then falling off on the path, if you stop and think about it, each plant that grows creates more seeds, right? So if God put us here on this earth, and the first person that he started with, they were the first seed, right? And then each person after that is another seed. What is our purpose here? To grow good seeds, to plant more seeds. But if you stop and think about it, doesn't the plants kind of have to go grow close to the same type of plant so that they can grow more? They can make more? Yeah, fertilize. They have to share. Because if that one plant grows up by itself, eventually that plant no longer exists because we only have so much of a physical growing process. Physical, I'm talking about body, skin, bones, muscles. Now, when you're planting your seeds, what is the seeds that we plant besides people? Love, God. How about thoughts? How about words? How about our feelings? Smiles. How about when we sit around and do nothing? Are we planning anything? Are we really? What are we planning? Yeah, that's true. But if you isolate yourself from everything,
no.
You're just going to sit there and grow by yourself, right? But are you going to grow healthy? No. So let's put this in terms of we're planting our seeds, part of us. Now, what is part of us? Who's supposed to be part of us? Why?
Because we actually do.
Because we accepted him. We chose to follow what he has given us. And what did he give us? And who was the example of that?
Jesus.
So if he gave us Jesus, and Jesus died for our sins, and he said that the blood that he shed was to take away our sins, not just back then, not when we were just born, not until the day that we die, but all of it. So the seeds that we should be planting, whether it's with our words, our mind, our feelings, our actions, what seeds are we to be planting? The Lord's seeds. So with that in mind also, as we're going along and we're planting our seeds, if we drop them along the path, Satan sees them, they're easy access. Now, we don't have exact control over him, do we? But we have control over what he does to us, right? The next part of that says that the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. How many of you remember the first time that you actually fell in love with, felt, or acknowledged God? Did you go out and tell all your friends and your family?
Yes.
How many of us have had friends and family that have done the same thing? And then something comes along the way, and it's eating away at their roots. It's eating away at the new discovery, the new knowledge that they have. If there's no roots, then what is there? There's nothing. Verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Now, if you stop and think about that, The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. How many of you have picked a fresh, brand new rose off of the plant? Is it easy? You have to look real careful and you find where the biggest thorns are, right? And you find the little space in between there, whether it's awkward to grab or whatever, or you have to grab a pair of gloves to grab it. And then you cut it off. But if you look up at the section where it has the little tiny thorns, there's millions of them, right? Who wants to grab that? Not much of anybody, because they look like little needles. And if you grab those, you know they're going to hurt. You can work around the big ones. So if you stop and think about it, is Satan always just going to throw the big thorns at us? No, he's going to find all the little thorns.
Like walking on Legos.
Yeah. My son loves his Legos, still at this age. But when he was younger, I would go in his room, and if it was dark and I wasn't paying attention, I would generally step on his Legos. And then, of course, I hear, oh, you broke it. But even still, it only hurts for a little bit, don't it? But in that little bit of hurt, what do you learn? You learn either how to not do it again, or you learn how to avoid it, or you learn how to be stronger through it. Wear your tennis shoes into your kid's room, and you just step on their toys and break it. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What's the good soil? The word in Jesus. So if you stop and think about it, how many times has Pastor told us, if we would just take 5-10 minutes in the morning, afternoon, before bed or whatever, and you read a little bit of the scriptures. If you take the scriptures that you read, and then if you put it in the back of your mind and you let it sit there and twirl around, do you think it's finally going to sit in your mind? Where does most of our thoughts come from? Talking physically, not spiritually, physically. Where does most of our thoughts come from?
A lot of influences all around us.
What we hear.
What we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we feel.
What our past is.
Yeah. Correct. But where does all that get processed?
In the brain.
In our brain. And what does our brain control? Our mouthpiece?
Our heart?
Our emotions,
our feelings.
Okay. How many times has anybody gotten into a struggle between what their heart or their soul is feeling and their mind is telling them? Just like when I'm sitting there and I'm telling the girls, sure, I'll go along with whatever you say. What? I love you, baby. Go ahead.
Sometimes we think our brain controls our heart, but a lot of times it's our heart that's controlling our brain. We let the feelings in our heart help us make decisions that we wouldn't rationally make with strictly our brain, that our heart and the emotions from our heart control it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this. Has ever anybody been told or thought that your soul is separate from your heart, but they can interact together? Where does our soul come from? What was the breath of life that we received? The Spirit of God. What is our soul? Can any doctor ever say, this body part is your soul? When our physical body dies, what is it that moves on? Spirit. Some people call it our soul. It's what connects us to God. So is our brain connecting us to God? Is our heart connecting us to God? We just got through singing, I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul. I read something the other day. The author is unknown. But basically what it said, the purest love is the love that is overflowing beyond our heart to our soul. How many of us love with our heart? I have. But I've had to learn to love with my soul. Sometimes it's not easy letting go of people that you swear them down, you love with your heart. But if you learn to love them with your soul, they're easier to let go of, or they're easier to hold on to. How about that one family member who just drives you nuts, and you don't want to talk to them, but you have to talk to them? If you learn to love with your soul instead of your heart, it becomes a little bit easier to deal with them. Because whose love are you living with? Not loving with, living with. God's love. And what does he say? He says for us to give what he has already given us. If he's given us his love, are we supposed to be loving with our love or loving with his love? Well, that is true to some point. Because if you stop and think about it, when we say that we're accepting Jesus and we're letting him into us, where are we taking him to? Our heart. And if we're allowing his love to enter into our heart, and we've accepted him, and his spirit is in us, that's our soul. Yes. So we should love with all of our heart and all of our soul. And our mind? How many times does our heart and our mind get in conflict?
3 daily.
Okay. Let's put it in perspective of Adam and Eve. So God put them in the garden, right? Told them they could have anything they want. They can eat anything they want. But for their benefit, don't eat of the tree of knowledge, the fruit of knowledge. And Satan came to Eve and he says, are you really going to die? What is he using? Yeah, but towards what? Is it towards her soul? Is it towards her heart? Is it towards her mind? Did God say that he gave us his mind?
Yes, he said he gave us the mind of Christ.
But when he gave us life, he gave us his breath. He gave us everything, right? But in our physical form, we still have our own mind, which allows us to have our free will. So when Eve sat there and she thought about it for a second, she was using her mind, not God's mind. And in her logic, based off of the information that Satan was feeding her, she decided, maybe it's not that bad. How many times does Satan come to us and he feeds us something and he uses part of the scripture to go along with it? Jesus said that he is the light, the way, the truth. He said he is the water that gives us life. And if everything that is in the Bible is supposed to be from God, who gave it to Jesus, who gave it to us, which seeds should we be planting? But where do those seeds come from?
God.
Yeah, but what form do we have that we can?
Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Bible.
It's all packaged in there, isn't it?
Yes.
How many times do you go to the store and you buy a package of peppers or a package of tomatoes? And I'm talking about the seeds. And when you buy those seeds, do you get one seed? You get many seeds, right?
Yes.
So are you going to plant one seed? No. You're probably going to try to plant as many as the ground will hold, right? How many seeds are we going to plant in our mind? As many as we can hold. All right, let's go to the next section. Matthew 13, 24 through 29. So Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where then did the seeds come from? The weeds come from." "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them." Going back to a farmer, when they plant their seeds, we have elements around us where that other seeds can blow in, right? And a farmer, besides the fact of making sure that it has whatever nutrients it needs, it has the water, it has the sun, they periodically have to go through and kind of loosen up the dirt in between the rows. And in the process of that, they're trying to turn over the weeds so they can get the weeds out. But how many times if, say, my feet are my roots, and I have this root right over here where that little trail is, and whatever he's running through there grabs that root, it's going to pull me up, isn't it?
Yes.
So in Matthew 13, 36 through 43, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." With that in mind, how many times did he have to explain himself, not only to everybody else, but to his disciples? They're just about as human as we are, right? He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Has anybody been around a good-sized garden or a farm and seen where they go in and they pull everything out? Are they going to keep the tomato that's on the vine that was rotting? No. But it's full of seeds, right? What happens to the seeds? They grow the next year. Now, it depends on if that tomato that originally started out was a good tomato or a bad tomato, right? Now, also, if you stop and think about it, when you're going through and you're pulling up wheat, weeds get in between the wheat, or hay, or back home we had fescue grass, and we feed that to our animals. Do you know how many weeds get fed to the animals too? But what if that weed that we fed to the animals was a bad weed, something that would make them sick? They get sick, right? Keep those things in your mind. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." So does Jesus just shine for only those who are good?
No.
Why? Because he wants to bring us all home. Not just one, not just five, not 1,000, not 1,000,000. He wants to bring us all home. "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?" Let's put this in perspective in our time. If we're only loving those who love us, are we really getting anything out of it? A little bit. We're getting the love that we want, right? But if you take a bottle or a glass or a jar or a bowl or a pan and you fill it up with something and it holds that, and it's not giving anything back, can you put any more in it? Yeah, you can. But the more that you're putting in is going to spill out, right? But if it's only holding on to it, and you only pour it up until it's full, and you don't pour any more in it, is it going to still be holding everything that it had? To a certain point. Depends on what it is. Eventually, everything either withers and dies, or if it's water or liquids, it evaporates. And it leaves a scummy scale behind, right? Where does the scummy scale come from? Well, if you're thinking about water, it has to do with the minerals that are in the water.
But it's scummy and gross.
If you're thinking about milk, when the milk evaporates, you're going to be left with this goo that is moldy.
It's slimy and gross. It comes from Satan.
Well, it's word that it gets destroyed. Yes. Okay. But then there's some of us who's allergic to penicillin. Okay. So my bottom line that I'm trying to get with this, if we're trying to hold on to our lives, we're trying to hold on to what we want, are we going to really grow?
No.
Okay. If what we're giving out is negative feedback, if what we're giving out is our anger, if we're giving out just our frustration, if we're giving out only whatever we feel bad about, are we growing anything? Yeah, we're growing Satan's ways, and we're sowing what he wants to sow. But if we're giving out God's love, or even if it's us, like this morning I got up, my throat's sore, and I'm not feeling good. And quite honestly, it was my fault. Because I knew when I take a trip and I come back, I'm dealing with weather changes. And then I eat ice cream, which messes with my sinuses. Yeah, but you know what? I always say, if I want it bad enough, I'll deal with the consequences, right?
Amen.
How many of us deal with our consequences?
We just don't say it out loud. You do.
Okay, but how many of us sit there and whine after we have to deal with our consequences? Yeah, I do too. But if we take and we sit there and we learn to talk to ourselves and talk to others. You know, when I was on the phone with my mom, talking to her, and she's sitting there telling me how she hurts and how people are being mean to her, instead of me going along with it, I fed her back words of love that she has taught me over the years.
Yes.
And my mom is the one who's taught me how to pray. And so when she says, you need to pray about this, well, how about we pray about it, Mom? Which brings another subject. When we pray by ourselves, we're having an intimate conversation with God, right? But when there's two of us that's praying together and we're agreeing on what we're praying about, how much stronger is that? Okay, what are you sowing? 100, 60, 30. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you even, not even the tax collectors do that. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wrap it up here. So if we have the life that God gave us originally, his breath, everything about him, his essence, and then we have the glory that Jesus gave us to be the children of God, because he takes away all the sins and he gives us the righteous place. He gave up his righteous place for those 3 days so that in those 3 days, everything that we're going to do, have done, will do, whatever the case may be, it's already resolved. But it goes back to, are we going to claim him or are we not going to claim him? Because there's also a passage in the Bible that says that when we go and we're in front of him and God, he will either say, I know you, you are my brother, you are my child. Or he will say, I don't know you. The choices are ours. What we plant in ourselves, what we plant in others, what we help grow. So if you take those things home with you and just think about them. All right, let's close this up. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for whatever this means to each and every one of us. And Lord, I know sometimes I gripe and grumble to you, but I thank you for the fact that even though I've had some trying times the past couple weeks, that you have given me the ability to also be able to enjoy life, enjoy friends. And Lord, I ask that you help each and every one of us so that we can learn to enjoy each other, build each other up. And Lord, not only that, but to help each other grow and to help plant more seeds for those who can come to you to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.